wow.
My mother was born at home.
Okay.
As was the fashion in those days.
Okay. So what was it like growing up in Wilmington?
Well, I lived at 3rd and Shipley, which is where Dell Tech is now, till I was 6 years old. My mother, father, and I were on the 3rd floor. My grandmother and grandfather and an aunt and uncle who hadn't married yet lived on the 2nd floor. My grandfather was a plumber, and he had his shop where he actually fashioned pieces of equipment that he couldn't buy or couldn't afford to buy on the 1st floor of this building. It was right next door to a newspaper publishing company that only published the Sunday.
Okay.
It was called the Sunday Star. Huh? And every Saturday night, we could hear the presses running through the walls of our house. My parents then bought a house on West 35th Street, very near Harlan School and P.S. DuPont High School in North Wilmington. Oh. And when I was 6 years old, we moved there.
Okay. So is that where you went to high school?
That's where I went to elementary school.
Uh-huh.
And when I was in high school and middle school, P.S. DuPont was a 6-year school.
Okay.
It was called junior high and high school.
Oh, okay.
So then I spent 6 years at P.S. DuPont. Wow. And it was great. My family was very poor. I was unaware of it till I became a teenager.
Mm. Did you work as a teenager? Is that how you became aware?
I started babysitting when I was 10 years old.
Oh, wow.
And sometimes I was very frightened late at night in somebody's house, but that's what we did in those days.
Mm.
So I babysat my summers. I took care of my brother. I have a brother 6 years younger than myself. When my mother had to go to work when I was 11, I had chores in the house. I had to scrub the bathroom and kitchen floors. I ironed my dad's shirts, and I took care of my brother after school, and in the summertime, for a couple years, we were just at home in the summer,
mm-hmm.
and then I became a counselor at the JCC camp. Okay. My brother was a camper.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have any other jobs, just babysitting.
Mm-hmm.
All through high school.
Okay. And then what was your mom's job that she got when you turned 11?
She was working as a bookkeeper for an appliance company in downtown Wilmington.
Okay.
And then it was later on when I was 11 and, no, when I was 13 and 14, that's when she started to work for the IRS.
Okay.
My daddy went into the service in 1944.
Okay.
I remember the day he went. It was 5 o'clock in the morning. It was dark. It was in March. Remember what my mother was wearing? A chenille bathrobe when we said goodbye to him.
And how old were you?
I was 7 years old when he went into the service.
Uh-huh.
And then he came back 2 years later.
Oh, wow.
He had a military discharge because of varicose veins. He served in Europe, though, for 2 years.
Wow.
Came back to a military medical hospital in Virginia. I remember visiting him there with my mother.
Wow. Did he ever talk to you about his experiences there? Or?
Not very much, but we actually have, in those days, soldiers wrote a letter that then went on microfilm or some kind of film. But lots of it is blocked out for security reasons.
Oh,
but we actually have the letters that he sent to us.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. In Wilmington, was there a large Jewish population, like a large Jewish community?
It was very hard to tell. Mm-hmm. I would say I always remember 4 synagogues and then 2 Orthodox ones merged. So then there were three synagogues, just mm-hmm. exactly what we have today, Reformed, Conservative, and Orthodox. Maybe in a way people were a lot more observant of traditions mm-hmm. when I was growing up. I went to Hebrew school Monday, Wednesday, services on Saturday morning, Sunday, and Sunday school on Sunday morning, which was the norm. Mm. Now it's far more liberal and probably nicer. But as Jewish people, I personally growing up, I knew non-Jewish people, but we were not social friends. I knew them in school.
Okay.
But not socially. Our life revolved a little bit at the synagogue, a lot at the YM and YWHA. Mm. I belonged to a Jewish high school sorority. The Jewish people I knew primarily lived in North Wilmington. As people gained money, everyone started out on West 2nd, West 3rd, right downtown Wilmington, very lower Market Street, King Street, French Street, West Street. Then if people could, they bought housing or rented housing in North Wilmington on the numbered streets. Mm. The people who really had money lived on Baynard Boulevard, where there were large homes.
Okay.
Then people moved on to Brandywine Hills, which is very North Wilmington, as their life improved, should I say. Mm-hmm. But most everyone I knew who was Jewish my age either went to number 30 school on the boulevard or went to Harlan School. Those near the boulevard went to Warner Junior High School. Everybody else went to PS. Then we all were at PS for our senior years. Mm-hmm. There were some families who really lived in the suburbs after I was out of school. There were more developments in North Wilmington, and those Jewish people went to Mount Pleasant.
Okay.
But participated in all the activities uh-huh. at the Jewish Community Center and such.
And so you mentioned being in a Jewish sorority in high school. Mm-hmm. Was that typical? There were sororities and fraternities in high school?
There was. And okay. this goes back to the 1920s.
Oh, wow.
So even in my parents' generation, mm-hmm. there were two Jewish fraternities and I think two Jewish sororities. But my mother did not belong to a sorority, but mm-hmm. my daddy did. Mm-hmm. And his fraternity had like a special whistle, uh-huh. which my daddy talked our three boys. And mm-hmm. even now, when we're together or we're calling the children, everybody whistles, oh. Pop-Up's fraternity whistle, and we know it's one of the children calling us or something. So that's a nice tradition.
Yeah, that is. Were there non-Jewish fraternities and sororities as well?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There were.
So.
But there was a complete separation, even in the cafeteria.
Really?
We didn't sit by sororities, but the Jewish people sat at tables, the non-Jewish people at other tables. That's just the way things were. Jewish people were not necessarily accepted. Mm-hmm. They had their own Jewish country club. We didn't belong to it. We didn't have the money, mm-hmm. or maybe wouldn't anyway. But there just wasn't acceptance of Jewish people in certain circles. In Wilmington, like you would say, in society, the Wilmington Country Club, the Wilmington Club, other organizations just didn't accept Jewish people. Mm. I'm not sure it was ever a hassle because it was just taken for granted. Oh. And I can say I know one family who had a debutante which had something to do with this man who was a lawyer for a lot of people in the DuPont family. The other is a younger girl, Susan Herman, whose maiden name was Agus, whose father owned a huge leather tanning factory here in Wilmington. As a young married person, she was accepted into the Junior League, but I never knew anyone else in the Junior League who was Jewish. I'm sure things have changed, but no, certainly not when I was growing up. Mm.
Did you or anyone that you were close to ever experience any anti-Semitism in Wilmington?
I don't think we're ever aware of it. It was just an accepted thing, so no, I never ran into anything.
Yeah. So was your family involved in any Jewish organizations?
Yes, or? My mother belonged to B'nai B'rith Women. My dad belonged to B'nai B'rith Men.
Okay.
They had a building first at 9th and Washington, and then right off of like 29th and Baynard Boulevard. And it was a gathering place for men a couple nights a week to play cards. And meetings were held regularly. Both parents were very active in B'nai B'rith. There was a lot of socialization. They put on plays. They had dinners, different events. Wow. I think those were my mother and father's main associations.
Okay.
They were not active at the synagogue like Marty and I were in later years.
Okay. Now, do you go to the same synagogue now that you went to as a child?
Yes, I do. And fortunately, my husband grew up in a conservative synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
So when we established our marriage here in Wilmington, it was very easy for him just to continue a Beth Shalom with me.
Oh, good. Now, I know that you went to college. Was your family very encouraging of you going to college?
Definitely. I went to a small liberal arts college in Virginia, Mary Washington College, which was all female. The time I went to college, it was called Mary Washington College of the University of Virginia because the University of Virginia was all male.
Okay.
It was in a different city. It was 50 miles away. I was in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I chose there primarily because of the price.
Mm-hmm.
That was what my family could afford.
Mm.
It was an okay experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I don't feel a lot of, I didn't get, there were very few Jewish people there.
Mm-hmm.
The other girls were very, very Southern.
Okay.
I tend to think they were girls that could not get into Sweetbriar or it's another women's college that was very well known in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But it got me a college degree, and that was fine.
Yeah. So what did you major in?
I majored in political science.
Mm-hmm. And then you went on?
No, then I came back to Wilmington. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go to New York, but my brother, 6 years younger, I thought was having some struggles with college applications, things like that. I wanted to make sure that things would go well for him. So I came back to Wilmington and took a civil service exam. And I was hired by the state of Delaware.
Okay.
And I worked as a social worker for 4 years. And then I was able to get a stipend from the state to get a graduate degree. And again, money played a part.
Mm.
I went to Tulane University in New Orleans.
Oh, wow.
And the welfare department paid for my tuition or gave me a stipend every month. And then I owed them a month and a half when I returned
okay.
to Wilmington. I did public welfare work for 4 years. How I did it, I don't know. I was the bravest 21-year-old walking the streets of the east side of Wilmington, Delaware. Nothing bothered me.
Mm.
I was very idealistic.
Now, what did you do in your position there?
I did two different things. One, I did a lot of intake, which was an office job, seeing if people could qualify for aid to families with dependent children or single people. If they met certain qualifications, then they were eligible for a check once a month from the welfare department. But then I made home visits to see what the home was like, where the children cared for. Not really child welfare, but just to make sure that there was a house or there was an apartment that truly existed and so on and so forth.
Okay.
After graduate school, I was an adoption worker. Delaware was one of the very first states in the 1930s to enact a law. I don't know how well it was obeyed. There were no such things as private adoptions in the state of Delaware. Oh. Everything had to be signed off by the welfare department, and the adoption had to go through what was then called orphans court, probably family court today.
Mm-hmm.
The welfare department, the child welfare unit, which I then worked in, did all the inter-country adoptions and relative adoptions, like a stepfather whose real father might have terminated rights, the stepfather wanted to adopt the children, and so forth.
Okay.
I did the intake, the home visit, followed the people for however, I think it was a year, and then the adoption would go through legally. That's not to say that people did not go to Florida and Texas and other places or know a lawyer.
Yeah. But did you enjoy doing that?
Yeah, I did very much.
Yeah. And did you do it for a long time?
No. I did it for 4 years. 3 years. I did it for 3 years. And then finally was able to get pregnant. I was an older bride, so I stopped working for money. That's what I always say.
Yeah.
I worked, but not for money.
So did you meet your husband when you were in college?
No, I met him. He came to work for the DuPont family.
Okay.
The DuPont company. I'm sorry. And we were both attended a singles event sponsored by the Jewish Community Center.
Okay.
And he came with someone he hardly knew, but he's from Norfolk, Virginia.
Okay.
But through somebody there, he had the name of a couple single men here in Wilmington, Jewish, that he contacted, and one of them brought him to this event. We started to talk, and of course, he dated girls at Mary Washington. I dated guys at the University of Virginia, but we never met there. And we became good friends. And then a couple years later, I actually fixed him up with other girls. We were just very good friends. But then a couple years later, it turned into romance, and we got married.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, you said your husband worked for the DuPont company. Did the commitment to jobs and being away ever create any challenges for you?
Of course.
Yeah.
He was in the finance department, worked very hard. He was acknowledged as he moved up the ladder from wherever he started. And he did a lot of international travel, a lot, and travel within the United States. We had 3 sons within 4 years, all of whom managed to get major diseases when he was out of town.
Oh, no.
I was very blessed to have my parents here and a set of aunt and uncles who a few times I had to call upon for various and sundry things. But my husband was very supportive of everything. Even he was always home for dinner when he was in Wilmington, even if he had to do work after the boys were put into bed. And he worked half time on Saturdays in his office downtown. He never missed a parent-teacher conference or any involvement of the boys. He did miss some soccer games, yes, but my father went to every single thing. And sometimes I had to enlist my mother when there were 3 children playing on 3 different fields at the same time.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a lot.
It all worked out.
Yeah.
And the boys to this day adore their father. They could call on the phone, "Hi, Mom, how are you? Can I talk to Dad?" It's wonderful. Just simply wonderful.
Good. Being in Wilmington so long, have you seen Judaism in Wilmington change over time?
I think I have. I think as more suburbs have grown, A number of Jewish people have moved to Chatsford for a wonderful school district, which the Brandywine School District is not as wonderful as it had been many, many, many years ago. Mm. There is a synagogue in Newark, Delaware, that had not been established when I was growing up. I think you can turn on the computer and hear wonderful, wonderful Sabbath services from big synagogues in New York City and other places, do streaming at no cost. I think there are more opportunities for Jewish people to be involved in the secular community. Mm. We're not ghettoized as we used to be. I think just times have changed. Mm. Intermarried has changed a lot.
Mm-hmm. Now, was that important for your parents when you were getting married?
I'm sure it was important, but it was a non-issue. Because I just grew up knowing that I would marry somebody Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I know of only one person who, my age, so 80s, in the 80s, who married a non-Jewish person. And their agreement was, if they had boys, they would be raised Jewish. They were girls. They would be raised Christian. And they had two girls.
Okay.
I personally don't know anybody else my age who married someone who was not Jewish. But now it's very much accepted and people are marrying, even outside the race, people are marrying Hispanics and Afro-Americans and so forth. And it's a whole different world now, which I try to adjust to. The saying among all of our female friends, maybe male friends too, is that if there are intermarrieds, we hope that our children, our grandchildren, will be raised Jewish just to keep the tradition alive.
Are all your grandchildren raised Jewish?
Mm-hmm.
That's
one of our families. Keeps kosher.
Okay.
Just because of family tradition. But they eat anything out, and in their house, they eat a lot of things on paper plates and plastic plastic so-called silverware, because they get a lot of takeout. The other two families do not keep kosher. One belongs to a conservative synagogue. The other two belong to Reform synagogues. They live all over the United States. And we're starting to have bar and bat mitzvahs.
Oh, that's exciting.
And it's quite wonderful.
Yeah. Now, did you keep kosher in your house?
My parents did, but I can remember this very, very well. My parents had been married about 25 years, and one day, my mother had it with my daddy, who kept putting the dishes back in the wrong place. And she said, "Ben, this is it." So then she gave up kosher. Mm-hmm. But things like, she always bought kosher meat, and she always bought kosher chicken. Again, it's just tradition.
Now, was
we didn't divide the plates and this and that anymore. Technically, we never had ham. We never had bacon in the house.
Okay.
There was a Jewish delicatessen that from which we got lunch meats and so forth. So,
okay. Was that close to where you lived in Wilmington?
Yeah, it was in North Wilmington. It's where Home Depot is now on Miller Road, in North Wilmington. That's another, I think, in terms of Wilmington, I think that's a big difference. In fact, a number of years ago, the Jewish Federation of Delaware did subsidize a kosher butcher, but it still did not fly. So that has a lot to do with adding to the traditions. We used to have a man from Vineland, New Jersey, who would come here once a week with meat and chicken and eggs, and that faded away. There is a place in North Philadelphia now, in the Northeast Philadelphia area, who will come down like once a month with kosher meats and so forth. The expense is unbelievable.
Really?
There is no comparison because there is no competition. Mm-hmm. So this particular butcher can charge what he wants. Mm-hmm. But even around the City Line area in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. where there's still lots of Jewish people, there are two places that were private kosher butchers that have gone out of business.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you still buy the kosher meat from?
I did buy the meat from Philadelphia, except the last time when I brought a brisket and it was $126.
Oh, wow.
I said, I need to move on. Mm-hmm. So now I will spend a lot of money on a first cut brisket at an expensive store here in Wilmington. Mm-hmm. I just don't feel like I'm being gouged like using this person in Philadelphia. Uh-huh. And I basically nowadays, we eat a lot of fish or vegetables or go out to eat, just the two of us. Mm-hmm. So I only cook brisket on a couple occasions a year. Mm-hmm. I would say Rosh Hashanah and Passover.
Okay. And that's a tradition.
Are the two brisket holidays. It's our tradition. I don't know if it's somebody else's. Uh-huh. There are people who will buy kosher chickens at kosher turkeys at Whole Foods or okay. ShopRite.
Okay.
For Thanksgiving. But I don't have to cook this year.
Oh, that's nice. So you said that you went to Hebrew school when you were younger. Mm-hmm. Did you speak Yiddish in your home growing up?
No, but myself and all of our friends know Yiddish expressions mm-hmm. because our parents' generation, even if they didn't speak it fluently, they mm-hmm. heard it in the house from their parents. Uh-huh. And so We do have a friend who can speak perfect Yiddish because the parents only spoke Yiddish at home. Mm-hmm. My parents' generation, or my parents, I should say, when they didn't want my brother and I to know something, mm-hmm. they would speak like in broken Yiddish. But there are some phrases mm-hmm. that we use sometimes that are in Yiddish, and everyone else knows what we're talking about.
Okay. Are there any, like, specific ones, or?
Oh, we could say Shein Aponim, which means a pretty face. Mm-hmm. Mazel Tov, which is now in the universal language. Mm-hmm. Oi, meaning, oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I just used one yesterday. I play. My girlfriends and I can't believe that we are being like our mothers. We've all learned to play mm-hmm. Mahjong. Oh. Which was a very popular game among Jewish women, mm-hmm. starting back in the 1930s. It was actually brought to the United States from China by a businessman who started Abercrombie and Fitch. Oh, he became fascinated with the game when he went on a shopping tour, mm-hmm. tours, plural. He brought the game to the United States, and it was initially played by women, society women, on the Upper East Side. Then they dropped it because they all belonged to private women's society clubs. It was picked up by wealthy Jewish women in New York because they couldn't belong to these clubs. Mm. So they're various Mahjong exhibits. You can see these women playing Mahjong in their apartments with other Jewish women, and they all had a maid in a maid's outfit with a little apron serving them food and stuff. And then it kept going down, down, down to the normal Jewish woman. Mahjong, extraordinarily popular across the entire United States now.
Wow.
Very, very popular.
And you play with
So I play Mahjong with three girls. Mm. They're all 1 year behind me, but they're all girls that I grew up with.
Oh, well, that's nice.
And just yesterday, I used a Yiddish expression, but I don't remember what it is.
Okay.
And Gotze Danken means thank goodness.
Okay.
Bashech means, it was Bashech. It was meant to happen.
Okay.
Something like that. Mm.
And do all your children know these expressions too?
I would say probably not. Just mm-hmm. maybe one or two.
Okay. So when you were growing up in Wilmington and just in Judaism in general, were there different roles for boys and girls?
Well, when I was growing up, women were not allowed to go up on the altar, the bima.
Okay.
It was strictly a men's thing. And there were no bat mitzvahs.
Okay.
We learned much later on that one of our former rabbis' daughter in the 50s did have a bat mitzvah, but I think it was a very private thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, everybody's equal. One of the things that we are proud, my husband and I are very proud of, when my husband was president of Beth Shalom, in 1972, we learned that conservative, because here again, we're talking about the difference in the various sects of Judaism,
mm-hmm.
that the conservative, we went to a convention for conservative synagogues, he went as the president, and we learned that there was a movement to allow women to go on the Bima, to read from the Torah, to have an Aliyah,
mm-hmm.
and Marty immediately came home and talked to the young rabbi that we had, who was 100% in favor of it at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe it was 1972.
Okay.
When women at Beth Shalom were granted equal rights. That's what it was called, equal
okay.
rights. They could do anything that the men could do. And then bat mitzvah started.
Uh-huh. So that was when they kind of became more normal?
In our synagogue, we were one of the first ones in the country
wow.
to extend equal rights to women. And there was a big turmoil at our synagogue, and people threatened to quit because
really?
It wasn't right. It wasn't right. Nobody quit the synagogue, and mm-hmm. we all lived happily ever after.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's...
Lots of smoke, but no fire.
Yeah. And then, so you and your husband had, like, a role in...
Well, my husband, not me.
Mm-hmm.
My husband, because he was the impetus to start it.
That's awesome. Hmm. So, in Wilmington and like in the Jewish community, was it typical for women to work? Or
not? My mother was one of the few women
mm-hmm.
who held a job, and I was actually, I had some. Sometimes of embarrassment that my mother was working.
Mm.
So I would just make up reasons why she didn't happen to be at home. I do not know of any other in my general circle. I knew one other woman who worked.
Mm.
But she was divorced. Two other women were divorced. But no, in my generation, all my friends stayed home. Nobody went to work. Unless they went to work after their children were grown.
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, in my children's generation, all the young girls went to Widener Law School after they had their children, so mm-hmm. on and so forth. But not in my generation. Everybody stayed home.
Mm-hmm. Were there some like community and religious activities that only women participated in?
I think they're called sisterhoods. The women's group at the synagogues, extremely active.
Mm-hmm.
They held the whole group together.
Mm-hmm.
In Wilmington, as a young bride, I remember there was National Council of Jewish Women, which has died away. I forgot about Hadassah. Hadassah, which is a women's group, and B'nai B'rith Women were big rivals. You either belong to one or mm-hmm. the other. Maybe some people with a lot of money belong to both, but they were kind of rivals,
uh-huh.
even though they had different aims, so to speak. There was Hadassah, which there still is, but it's mostly older women. Young girls are not, have too much else to do. There was ORT, which is an organization that retrains people
mm-hmm.
for jobs, mostly in technical fields, kind of like what Dell Tech does.
Mm-hmm.
But ORT is all over the world, retraining young people.
Mm-hmm.
That no longer exists here in Wilmington. I guess that's it. For men, it was always just... B'nai B'rith. I don't know of any other women's. So it was B'nai B'rith, Hadassah, Council of Jewish Women, and ORT.
Mm-hmm.
So two no longer exist. Hadassah is older. Three no longer exist. There's no longer an individual chapter of B'nai B'rith Women.
Okay.
That exists at all.
Okay.
At all.
Now, were you, because your mother was a part of B'nai B'rith
Women. Yes, I became a life member.
Okay.
But I was also a life member of Hadassah because of an aunt who I adored.
Mm.
But I was never active in either one or either organization.
Mm.
I chose when I stopped working, I was active primarily in the synagogue sisterhood, and I did some things at the JC. I was active at the JCC, as it was then called. I mean, the name had changed. And later on, I became active at the Jewish Federation. Now, when I say active, I went in the Kutzim, which was the Jewish nursing home.
Okay.
I was very active there.
Mm.
I chaired a million and one things.
Mm.
The only time I held office, I was president of the auxiliary of the Kutzim. I was a board member of lots of things, and because of my husband's position at DuPont, I was also a board member of community things. The Delaware Symphony, the Grand Opera House, Girls Inc. There was a Florence Crittenden home. I don't know if you know what the Florence Crittenden homes were. Homes for unwed mothers, because there was no abortions except very, very, very highly illegal ones.
Mm-hmm.
And these were girls who were then giving their babies up for adoption. I was on the board of the Florence Crittenden home. I was very active. Our boys went to Wilmington Friends School. I was active at Friends School. I was on the board of trustees there. That kept me busy. I do think the whole idea of women's groups, Jewish involvement in things, had a lot to do with our children's generation, with all the women working.
Mm-hmm.
All of our daughters-in-law work. And only one would I say it's for money.
Okay.
The other two are simply want to have careers, or one has her own online business, shabby chic gifts, things like that. One works for Red Bull.
Okay.
Manages their public relations. And the third one works for a private, has always worked for private foundations in her specialties, education, doing marketing, PR, developing educational programs.
Mm-hmm. Now you said you were active in your son's schools.
Mm-hmm.
Were you, it seems like education was very important in your family.
Very much so.
Yeah.
For all of us.
And that's something, do you feel like you carried from your parents or?
No. It's just something that Marty and I, something that we just did. When our L.A. son is active in Make-A-Wish Foundation and has been asked to be involved in some Jewish things, but he has no time. His job is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, seemingly. Our San Francisco son is active at his synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
And he reached Torah very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Our younger son, who's now in Atlanta and family, are very active at their synagogue. He was their synagogue president, very active at the JCC, on the board there. But also, kind of because job-wise, he and his wife are also active in the general community.
Mm-hmm.
But where they live in Atlanta is a very, very big Jewish community. So I would say that most of their work is in the Jewish community.
Mm. That's nice. So thinking of your sons and stuff, did you notice that your sons were attending a lot of bat mitzvahs? Was that like more...
When they were growing up?
Was that more common that the bat mitzvah...
I think it's... I can't remember. Those types of celebrations when our boys were growing up were so much smaller.
Oh, really?
They usually involved simply going someplace, having a luncheon after services on Saturday.
Mm.
Because initially, a lot of the people were from Wilmington, so you didn't have to do something major on Friday night or mm-hmm. a breakfast on Sunday morning. Because my husband grew up in Norfolk, Virginia, we had a lot of out-of-town people.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we had 3 bar mitzvahs in 4 years. We
yeah.
went to the synagogue on Saturday morning. We went to the Hotel DuPont, the Dewberry Room, which is above the Gold Ballroom, for a luncheon.
Mm.
And I don't think any of our 3 children had more than 10 or 12 friends there.
Okay.
It was all just family and extremely close family friends.
Okay.
Now it's a much bigger,
like a
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So they attended some other bar mitzvahs, but it's just not like now you invite
mm-hmm.
everybody or whole classes or something like that.
Okay.
Not at all. Mm-mm.
Okay. So, going back to the Friends School,
mm-hmm.
Did it matter to you or your husband that the school wasn't affiliated with, like, Judaism in any way?
No, but mm-hmm. we did like the idea of the Quaker tradition.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up there not expecting to. We mm-hmm. bought a house off of 202 and could not afford furniture for 7 years. We lived in a house with a kitchen and my husband's furniture from when he was a bachelor. Coming to Wilmington, I came with nothing but a large dental bill to the marriage. But we wanted to be in a good school district. My husband and I were both raised in public school.
Mm-hmm.
And where we lived, we should have been able to walk to Alfred I. DuPont Elementary School, which is where Staples is now, 202. And our oldest child went there for kindergarten. Our second child developed a temporary disability, and it was going to be a challenge to have him in that school
mm.
because he didn't meet certain criteria. And then there was the younger one. The oldest child was exceptional in terms of his intellectual ability. And the school insisted that we put him from kindergarten to second grade. Our pediatrician said, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
He's a boy, a fall baby, left-handed, no.
Mm-hmm.
So, and with the second child, just 1 year behind,
mm-hmm.
and having this disability, we visited all the private schools in Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
And the only one willing to accept us was, and make it easy for our child who was disabled,
mm-hmm.
was Wilmington Friends School. They were willing to build a ramp to get into the lower school for him.
Mm-hmm.
They had no cafeteria. You ate in your classroom, and the whole school was carpeted, which was a safety factor for our child.
Mm-hmm.
They were willing to assign a teacher to carry him if there was a sudden evacuation.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, our oldest son could do math on his own level and reading on his own level while still being in a classroom with other first graders.
Okay.
Because that's how they were teaching at that time at Wilmington Friends School.
Uh-huh.
Individual personal instruction, or individual pupil instruction is what it was called.
Okay.
So he could work at his own pace but still be with kids his age,
mm-hmm. so he's
socially
safe.
And emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we chose Friends School.
Wow. So it sounds like they were very accommodating.
And they were very accommodating, very accepting of all the Jewish holidays
uh-huh.
and this and that. I would say we encountered, our boys never thought they had any discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
However, I saw it starting in middle school where certain kids were invited to a cotillion dance, but then there were 2 different kinds of dancing lessons,
mm-hmm.
1 and 2, And some certain people got invited to two, certain one, certain to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm relating it 100% to my husband's advances at DuPont.
Uh-huh.
So our boys were included in, they took dancing lessons. That's basically what it was. They took uh-huh. dancing lessons for a couple of years
uh-huh.
and got invited in eighth grade to go to a dance or two dances a year.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you have boys that rolls off their back, it was
yeah
like a big non-issue.
Mm-hmm.
They did have non-Jewish friends,
mm-hmm.
but also Jewish friends at Friends School. There weren't that many Jewish kids that went to Friends. But basically, the school was very accepting of the children.
Mm-hmm.
They always felt like everyone is equal. When they were at Friends School, there was no honor roll.
Okay.
There were no awards given out for the best whatever graduation.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was equal. You were only competing against yourself. And we like that philosophy very, very much.
Yeah, I like that too. Were there any like Quaker ideals and things that you felt like kind of like matched Judaism?
I think service to others. I mean, that's mm-hmm. how we lived our life.
Yeah.
Whether the Quaker feeling did a lot for the boys, maybe, but we were already that way,
yeah.
Jewishly. Mm-hmm. And in our secular life, we were always being of service to others.
Mm-hmm.
We were always respectful of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just fit in with our philosophy and what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that my husband and I ever got over the fact that our children were in a private school, because
mm-hmm.
it was never anything that we ever attended.
Yeah.
And because the classes there are quite small, our boys did get itchy
mm-hmm.
the end of eighth grade. And so each one of them spent a day at Brandywine High School, which
okay.
was our local high school.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of them came back and said they would stay at Friends.
Oh, wow.
I think one of them may have gotten cold feet
mm-hmm.
because I already knew everything in the classroom. Well, no, you didn't. This semester, that's what they were teaching. The fact that you had it on another semester doesn't mean that you knew everything. Another one mentioned that teachers walk down the hall and don't even talk to you. But that's a big school. I mean, that's
yeah.
like business as usual.
Mm-hmm.
But being unaccustomed to that type of thing. We
yeah.
even had teachers at Friends School. About four times I had to travel with Marty.
Mm-hmm.
Not for long, but I had to.
Yeah.
And I just thought as the boys were older, instead of leaving them with my parents, it would be good for them to have one of the male teachers stay with them.
Okay.
So we did that. I did learn a lesson after the second time that I had to hire a cleaning service to come before I returned back home. I could not walk into a house. But the teachers made sure the kids did their homework and everything. And, you know,
well,
it
good.
Was fine.
Yeah. That sounds like they're very involved. And
yeah. Yep.
And so what was your, so you were on the board at Friends School?
I was a trustee. They call them trustees at Friends
okay.
School. I don't know what I brought to the board except that I, because of my volunteer involvement, I could just give another point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most of the board was made up of Quakers.
Okay.
I did tend to, there was someone else Jewish on the board who remained on the board for a very, very long time,
mm-hmm.
whose wife was the school psychologist, like on a part-time basis or
okay.
as needed.
Mm-hmm.
Since that time, when I have read who's on the board of trustees and such, I think there's been maybe one other person who's Jewish, but times change.
Mm-hmm. Now, were you the only woman on the board?
No. The Quakers have always had women.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Okay. Yeah. So kind of moving on to another topic.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember when Israel was created, or the talk of Israel came about?
I was I knew about it. That was in 1948, but I was only 10 to 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do not remember it. I don't remember my parents ever attending. They used to have these rallies or dinners to raise money. Isra Bonds.
Okay.
I knew nothing about that because my parents couldn't afford to do any of that.
Mm-hmm. Were they in Wilmington, those mm-hmm. dinners?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They used to have them at the YMHA down at 6th and French Street, which is where the original JCC was, so mm-hmm. to speak, which was right next to the very, very big Orthodox synagogue. So okay. It was a natural location.
Mm-hmm.
In my parents' era, most of the Jewish people were small business people, grocery stores. I don't know if there were actually peddlers in Wilmington, but very, very small-time business people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had been promoted that companies like Hercules and DuPont would not hire anybody Jewish.
Oh, really? So that was known throughout the
community? That was just known. Now, a few years ago, my husband did enormous research for the Jewish Federation of Delaware
mm-hmm.
about Jewish people who worked for DuPont who were involved in the greater Jewish community.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many instances, even going back to the 30s, where there were people in research, scientists,
mm-hmm.
no one in any other division, but there were in the 30s and 40s some scientists that were hired by DuPont.
Okay.
And in the 40s, DuPont bought a pharmaceutical firm that was someplace or other, a small pharmaceutical firm that was owned by a Jewish man.
Mm-hmm.
And he became an employee of DuPont, but it was only through that connection.
Wow.
But when my husband was in finance at DuPont, even early on, there were two people here in Wilmington, two grown men, I mean, very successful at their business, who got tears in their eyes every time they saw Marty because they had desperately mm-hmm. wanted to get a job in finance at DuPont,
mm-hmm.
but heard that they wouldn't hire Jewish people.
Wow. So did they not even try to apply because of that?
Marty never asked them any details.
But yeah.
When things like that became known, you didn't bother because you mm-hmm. knew you would be rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Marty's research, there were instances. There was one man prior to Marty who became an executive vice president of DuPont, Harold May, who was from out of town but started as a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, Irv Shapiro,
mm-hmm.
who was the president of DuPont, he was the second non-family member to become president of DuPont. And he came to DuPont in the legal department.
Oh.
But he was known as a big-time government lawyer, I think, or something like that. That's how he started mm-hmm. out. Somebody from DuPont hired him.
Now, did Marty have a relationship with him? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One day, when Irv had retired,
mm-hmm.
well, I'll just tell you one funny story.
Mm-hmm.
One day, Marty came back from his office, and his secretary said, Mr. Shapiro called you. So Marty calls him back, and the first thing Irv says is, you really know how to hurt somebody. And Marty, as he tells it, said he thought he was going to lose his job. Irv Shapiro called himself, and the secretary said to Irv Shapiro, how do you spell your last name? But I said to Marty, that's understandable. These were young women who came from Catholic schools, who took the commercial course, who became secretaries for DuPont, because that's what you did.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't go to college and you were from a Catholic school, you became a secretary at DuPont.
Mm-hmm.
I said, be happy she knew how to spell your name. I mean, when you're at that level and somebody is at the head of your company, so what? She doesn't know how to spell Shapiro.
Mm-hmm.
And then one other time, which was awful, somebody's daughter was getting married, and Irv Shapiro called him and asked Marty what kind of jacket he was wearing, because it was in the summertime, and Marty said a white jacket, because that's what people wore in the summertime. Instead of a black tuxedo, you had mm-hmm. black pants and a white jacket. And Irv and Marty were the only two people with white jackets on.
Oh.
He didn't care. No, they were friends. And mm-hmm. and one day after Irv retired, when I say friends, we weren't social friends with them, but...
Work friendly.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, yeah. He and Marty had to go on a couple trips together. But, I mean, just day trips, I think. I don't think overnight trips.
Mm-hmm.
But Marty, he called Marty into his office. He became associated with a law firm after he retired from Vermont. And he said to Marty, you have to become president of the Jewish Federation. And Marty had almost no involvement with Federation. He was president of our synagogue. He had been president of the Jewish Home for the Aged, the Kutz Home.
Mm-hmm.
He never had anything to do, pretty much, with Federation besides give them a contribution.
Mm-hmm.
He said, they need you. You will become the president. He said, no, I don't. Marty became the president.
Wow.
So even when he was no longer head of DuPont, you still listened to Irv Shapiro.
Yeah.
And it was a fine experience. It worked out okay.
Yeah, it sounds like a nice relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned earlier, too, that when you and Marty first moved, you only had his furniture from...
Right, and his boss, whenever we had the boss over, he would say, when are you going to get living room furniture?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like saying, whenever you give Marty Mann a raise, because when you have no furniture, you can't buy a lamp mm-hmm. unless you can afford the table, unless you can afford the sofa.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to wait till we saved all mm-hmm. that money. And there were times, literally, both when we were in an apartment and when we first moved to Sharpley, that we had to entertain foreign visitors in our house. It was like a tradition.
Mm-hmm.
We could not afford, basically, a lot of money for our own groceries.
Mm-hmm.
So... once in a while, we went over to my parents, who didn't have much money either, but we would go over there for dinner
mm-hmm.
because we were spending all this money. Then finally, there was a change, and mm-hmm. Marty was allowed, or I was allowed with Marty, to go out to dinner and charge it to an expense account.
Oh, that's nice.
But no, we had very, and Marty also grew up with very little money.
Mm-hmm.
And it really impacts our life to this day. I mean, mm-hmm. I cut out coupons. I'm very careful with money.
Mm-hmm.
I would say two of our three boys are careful, but all the wives are very, very... nobody fritters money away, but there's one son who might spend a little bit more on some things than
mm-hmm.
perhaps I would have or Marty would have.
Uh-huh.
No, so we're very, very, everything we have, Marty Mann has earned.
Yeah.
As I like to say.
Yeah.
And we told our boys to follow their dreams. We did not impose any restrictions on them.
Mm-hmm.
They adored their father. They all... Son number one applied to 11 colleges, was accepted at UVA, decided to go there. The other two were not going to apply to 11 colleges, so they followed in their older brother's footsteps. So all three boys went to UVA like their father. And we told them to follow their dreams, and we would be very supportive emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they live so far away from us.
Yeah.
I wish they lived across the street.
Yeah.
For what they are paying in Atlanta, LA, and San Francisco.
Yeah.
Or Burlingame. Burlingame is it's on the outskirts of San Francisco.
Mm.
It's where the airport is for San Francisco.
Okay.
And that's where they live.
Wow.
In a wonderful school district.
Uh-huh. So that value is still carried over, too. Mm.
That has a foundation. The public school. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Has a foundation because in California, the state only pays for the share of like reading, writing, arithmetic.
Uh-huh.
They don't pay for or give very much money for art, music, and gym.
Okay.
So parents in the Burlingame School District have formed a foundation, and they solicit money for all those extracurricular things. And they actually have parents come into the schools to provide some of that enrichment that the state does not pay for. I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
And then our two children in Atlanta go to a Jewish day school who expect money. And the two children in L.A. go to two different private schools.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I only have like a few more questions,
sure,
and then
that's fine.
Have you ever traveled to Israel?
Yes.
Mm.
Marty and I went to Israel when he was president of Jewish Federation. It was a trip just for presidents of federations in the United States. Fortunately, we chose to go 4 days before the real mission started because we had never been. So for 4 days, we had a guide driver who took us to all the touristy places. And it was simply wonderful. Mm. And then we got on a bus with all these other presidents who had been there 10, 12, 13 times. We were definitely the newbies and didn't have much to say. But we did other things. We did not do the touristy things. But we went to a couple museums. We visited with families in their homes. We saw things that were being done in the desert. You know, the green trees growing in the desert and the farming. And we spent a whole day on a kibbutz and we just learned a whole lot on that trip. That was in 1983, perhaps, or 84. And then in 1989, we went on a family mission. It was advertised in our local Jewish newspaper. We were the only people from Wilmington who went. So there were the five of us. We were put on a bus with a family, which included nieces and nephews, a very prominent family from Atlanta, a family from Norfolk who Marty knew, and they were our partners for the 10 days. They were our travel companions, and because our three boys were cute and kind of the same age as some of the girls, and we bonded. The boys, then we did all the touristy things on this family mission, of course, and the kids went tubing down the Jordan River and this and that. It was really, really nice. More importantly, we made lifelong friends with the Meditz family from Atlanta. And since that one time, we were to everybody's everything. Weddings, grandchildren's, bar, bat mitzvahs. When we go to Atlanta to see our son and family, we always see the Meditzes and a sister, and Stuart Eisenstadt, a very, very prominent national Jewish person who was part of Jimmy Carter's cabinet, I think. And he just wrote the most authentic, authorized biography of Jimmy Carter. But he also served as ambassador to Belgium, keeping a strictly kosher kitchen over there. And he was also a lawyer helping to get all the repatriation for the for the survivors of the Holocaust whose things were confiscated. And so we have this enduring friendship with these people all because we were on the same bus. So that was a nice bonus.
That is nice.
Our most wonderful picture, which I will show you. We did a whole collage of our trip to Israel that also included a trip to Amsterdam. And our most significant picture is the three boys at the wall with their arms around each other.
Oh, wow.
So I could cry when I see it. But we have it on the wall. I'll show it to you.
Yeah, wow. That's
so
really nice.
We are just happy that our boys are Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
And just do things Jewishly.
Mm-hmm.
One of our daughters-in-law is not Jewish, but was raised with no religion.
Okay.
But she is the one who, as soon as they were married, took an 18-month course at a synagogue in Pacific Palisades.
Mm-hmm.
Our children technically had to be converted because the conservative religion does not recognize heredity through a mother yet, even though my husband, who was on the rabbinical advisory board at the Jewish Theological Seminary, has written to every single president begging for that recognition, and it's never happened. So our children went to the mikveh, and it was such a moving experience the first time for our granddaughter that when our grandson was converted, these are little tiny children.
Mm-hmm.
Our daughter-in-law Erin insisted that we come out for the conversion. Erin's mother, who is not Jewish, who was raised, I think, Presbyterian, sends us cards for every holiday. She, too, has apples and honey on Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm.
She, too, eats matzah during the week of Passover. And our other two families are observant. Mm-hmm. So it's just wonderful. We love all of our son's in-laws.
Mm-hmm. That's really
and
nice.
Even though Erin has not technically converted,
mm-hmm.
she's taken special courses at their synagogue now, and
mm-hmm.
we have a Jewish family.
Yeah.
Hopefully it won't last till the next generation, but who knows? We just want our children and grandchildren to be happy.
Yeah, that's very nice. So last question. So what does it mean to you to be Jewish in America?
I literally do not know. It's mm-hmm. just such a part of my life.
Uh-huh.
And I know it's scary.
Mm-hmm.
And on purpose, I did not put my maiden name, which is Cohen, on my passport.
Mm-hmm.
I thought if we were ever captured, no one would know I was Jewish. My husband, after leaving DuPont, became the CFO of a very large company in Canada, but actually had an airplane and commuted to Canada Monday through Friday.
Huh.
One of his regrets is we had the ability at that time. All our boys were in college at the same time. we could have had dual citizenship with Canada. And we never thought about it till it was too late. Maybe that would make me feel a little bit better if, heaven forbid, there was another Holocaust here. We could easily escape to Canada because we would also have Canadian citizenship.
Mm.
But it didn't happen, so.
Mm.
I've had a wonderful life.
Yeah.
And I hope I live as long as my mother.
Yeah.
Both Marty and I, Marty has just written his memoirs just for our family and our grandchildren, but it is over 200 pages about his whole life. Mm-hmm. Every job he had, he has worked since he's been 8 years old.
Wow.
Never not worked. Never expected we would have what we have. Never in 20 million years.
Mm-hmm.
So we feel God has blessed us. I'm just lucky to be here in this house and have children and grandchildren that we talk to that love us and we love them.
Mm.
It's not answering your question, but we insist on a family vacation every summer for at least one whole week.
That's nice. With the whole family?
Here, there, and everywhere. Usually we have rented through whatever on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
We have found fabulous houses. The last 2 years we've actually been in hotels, which has been a little easier for me, but not quite. We always, wherever we travel, even the bar mitzvah this weekend, mm-hmm. our family came in for it in northern New Jersey. Marty and I always get a suite for no other reason than to have a room where everybody can gather
mm-hmm.
and a couple of the little children with the pull-out bed can sleep overnight with us, which is still a treat.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's it.
Sounds like you have a wonderful family.
We have been so blessed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A million times. Mm-hmm. And we still have good health, so we can still run around and do things. That's important too, not everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been that lucky.
Well, thank you so much. I'm going to pause. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're quite welcome.
I know.
I've enjoyed meeting you, and this is